for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, December the 27th, 2010. Gene Fisher is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Be Still and Know God.
Well, I think Patty had the word of the Lord. You know, God's moving, and He's restoring the kingdom. And there were many pioneers that came forth, you know, 30, 40 years ago and brought forth the message of deliverance. And even though people may not be willing to stand up for it, it is now a well-accepted message. And the Lord's restoring the kingdom. We are seeking the Lord for, I can't get my sweater off. We're seeking the Lord for a greater, more healings. I mean, we believe it. Y'all believe it. We all believe it. We want to see it. And we, and like Bo said, we're not content with what we have. We want more. There's more, people. I don't know what you've got now, but there's more. And this world, as y'all know from reading the newspapers, is not getting to be a more wholesome place every day. And that's a good thing for the kingdom, because that's when God can be seen. And we've had in America, we've been blessed for many years to have stable government, to have a stable economy, and in so doing, one of the bad things that comes forth is we get comfortable. And comfort's not going to cut it anymore. There's a generation growing up now that does not know God. Just the other day, walked into a Baskin and Robbins, and I asked the lady there if she knew how to go to heaven. She was a young girl, and she said, no. How many of y'all have ever heard that? Most of the time, people go, yeah, but they don't want to hear it. She said, no. It's a new generation. There's the opportunities for the kingdom out there are exciting, challenging. These young people, my heart is so burdened for these young people, because they didn't grow up like we did hearing the gospel and rejecting it like many of us did. They have no clue. They have no clue. They did not grow up with a sense of right and wrong. We rebelled against it, right? They don't even know it. We confront people today in the church about living together and find out their parents have always lived together and never married. So it's a different world out there, and the challenges are different. And I just know it's time to get serious. I feel the Lord's urgency in my spirit. It's time for us to take the things that we have and to go out with them in the world and to begin to impact people outside of the church. And that's been the cry of my heart lately is, Lord, I want to go outside of the church. I want to go where they, where the battle is. And God's ministered to the church and will continue to minister to the church, but He's equipping us, folks. It's an equipping. It's not, we can't just keep feeding and feeding and feeding until we go fat. He's equipping us. He wants us to go out. He wants us to carry the weapons of our warfare and destroy the enemy who is devouring, especially the young people of this land. This has nothing to do with my message, but Patty, you got me stirred up talking to these young people. So, anyhow, I'm going to talk about something it may seem quite different, and it may not even seem like much of a deliverance topic, but it really is. So I want you to hear me out. Did y'all bring your Bible? We're going to look at some scriptures. Turn to Psalm 46. I love Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is kind of one of those scriptures that leaves you absolutely no excuse for fear, because it talks about tumultuous events that are going to take place, mountains being removed and cities falling, and then it says, therefore I will not fear. But I want to look at verse 10, and this is a scripture you all know. It says, be still and know that I am God. So how do we come to know God? Well, at least one thing we have to learn to do is to be still, and that's what I want to talk about. How many of you have busy lives? How many of you got a lot going on? How many of you got a lot of noise in your life? Phone ringing, cell phones everywhere now, cell phones and car alarms. There's not a lot of silence. We're going to have to work hard at something that's very important, especially if we go and take the battle out there. We're going to have to work very hard at carving a place aside for ourselves, because we have to learn to be still. And I want to talk a little bit about learning to be quiet before the Lord. It's very important that we do this. And folks, it is a discipline, because life fills itself up. You don't even have to try. It just fills itself up. And to make room for God and to make room for time with God is something that we're going to have to really do deliberately. Deliberately is a word that we've been using a lot lately. Deliberate means to deliberate, to take your freedom away, to take away freedom. You have to take away freedom to do other things. You have to make a deliberate place for God. God's desire is for us to know Him. It's a relationship. And many Christians study, learn, and that's a good thing. You want to study, you want to learn. But God doesn't really want to give us more information. He wants to give us a revelation. We have to have that. I want you to look at Romans 12:2. This scripture, Romans 12:2, has been like the scripture of my life for the last 6 months or so. It all comes down to this when it comes to knowing God. Revelations 12:2 is a scripture we all know, but for good reason. It is an important one. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." See, God wants to renew our minds. Because, folks, we can't even begin to comprehend God in our mental realm. He's a spirit. The truth of the kingdom is a light that we cannot see by natural light. It's a light that we have to see by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can grasp or comprehend. We can study, but in studying, all we're hoping is that God will illuminate something in what we're studying so that it can be truth inside. It's not about more stuff to know. It's not about more rules to obey. It's not about any of those things. It's about being transformed. And the only way that we can be transformed is in the presence of God. Turn over a few scriptures to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. This is another scripture that we read a lot, but it's just, it says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord," who is what? He's spirit, folks. He's a spirit. And the only way that we can comprehend Him is in our spirits, through our spiritual realm. It's, you know, bottom line, it's the presence of God that transforms us. It's God's presence. And cultivating God's presence is not an easy thing for a lot of different reasons, but I'll tell you, one of the main reasons is because the enemy doesn't want you to. The enemy will allow you to go to church. He will allow you to study. He will allow you to do everything as long as he doesn't get you in a place where you can truly be transformed. Because you can fight from your head and you will lose. You can fight from the things that you know, and you can make a lot of sounds that sound good. You can say a lot of things that sound impressive, but you're not going to win the spiritual battle unless you're transformed into the image of God. And the enemy wants to distract you, wants to keep you busy, even doing good things, even doing ministry things, anything to keep you from the presence of God. And the presence of God has to be entered into daily, folks. It has to be a daily thing. You can't come to a camp meeting and have the presence of God and go home to a busy life and not enter into the presence of God anymore and expect to win the spiritual battle that you're in. Many of you here are contending either for deliverance for yourself or for a greater anointing so you can set other people free. Well, folks, the very first thing that it comes down to is get in the presence of God every day. You have to cultivate His presence. We must learn to be still if we're going to know God. You know, when the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus when He was baptized, He came down as a what? As a dove. Now, we all know that story, and we all think that's great. The Holy Spirit is a dove, right? He comes down, He's gentle, and He's quiet. But, you know, this is not the way we would do it. If we were the Son of God and we were about to get anointed to go for ministry, we would call in the media and we'd have horns blasting. It'd be a big deal. It really would. There'd be a lot of fanfare. I mean, just think about it. This is the most momentous occasion. And we pass over. We don't realize the Son of God is being anointed to go and to cast Satan. He said he saw him falling from the heavens like lightning. The world's about to change. It will never be the same again. And a dove rests on him. No one notices. And he walks away into the crowd. No one notices. is gentle. It says about Jesus, he will not cry aloud or make a clamor. He will not lift up his voice. Jesus is different. Jesus is not like, who is it that wants attention? It's the enemy that draws attention to himself. Jesus was always telling people he healed, don't tell anybody, wasn't he? He snuck into Jerusalem his very last visit there. He didn't want people to know. It's not about the attention, folks. It's not about the big hoopla. It's not about all that. It's about fellowship with God that so empowers you that you can change the people around you. And, you know, he chose just a very few to pour his life into. It's not a big, thing. I just want to make the point that you have to find God. You know, over and over in Scripture, if you'll read it, and when you're studying something or God's doing something in your life, and that's how you start noticing it everywhere in Scripture. And just all over Scripture, it will say things like, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Or just over and over, it talks about when you're in God's presence, just stop talking, right? Just be quiet. I want to look at a scripture in Ecclesiastes 5 that was always so convicting to me. Ecclesiastes. I know y'all have seen these scriptures, but just consider it. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. And what is the sacrifice of fools? It says, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, or let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Over and over, it emphasizes that God is great. And yet, oftentimes, when we come into his presence, we never let him speak to us. We never give him a chance. And the Lord is saying that we need to learn to silence ourselves before him, to be quiet before the Lord. The Lord's got great things to say to you. He's got things that you won't even believe to say to you. I can tell you right now, I can say it prophetically, God's got great things to say to you. If you'll just be silent and listen. we all know the scriptures about Elijah being with the presence of God and looking for God in the big, violent storm that came through and the fire that fell from heaven, and God was where? He was in the still, small voice. See, you can go looking for God in the big things, but I'll tell you where you're going to find God. You're going to find God in the quietness of your own prayer life. That's where you're going to find him. Not that he can't touch you in other places. He will touch you everywhere. But you're going to find out who you are in Jesus Christ in those moments. See, one of the biggest problems that people have with deliverance is we all grow up not knowing who we are. We all grow up with a false identity stamped on us by parents who weren't able to give us what we needed to go. And there's only one way you can find out who you are, and that's in the presence of God. When you're in the presence of God, you will feel that passion inside of your spirit. You will feel the thing on your heart that may be different than on somebody else's heart. You will find out who you are in the presence of God. Listen, to tell you something. God loves you. You ever heard anybody tell you that before? Do you think you got it down? Do you know the depths of God's love? No. No. I mean, if we knew that, we would... I don't know what this place would look like. And who could ever fathom the depths of God's love? But the scripture says that he wants to strengthen our spirits so that we can come to know the height, the depth, the breadth. Right? Where is that going to happen? It's like he's trying to, the kingdom of God is bigger the further in you go. It's the opposite, right? The further in you go, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We don't know that. Then you start out and you're brand new and you learn a bunch of stuff. You think you know something, right? When you go deeper and deeper in the Lord, you begin to realize you don't know anything. I mean, God is in his holy temple that all the earth keeps silent. The awesomeness of God is you get And he expands our capacity. And the only way that we can come to know more of God is to have our spirits enlarged. It's a spiritual thing. It's a real thing. He wants to enlarge the place within you that you can contain the knowledge, the revelation of God and God's love. And he wants to do that to you in the quiet place. Look at Proverbs 9:13. It's interesting if you do a study on this, to do a study on the word folly. Proverbs 9:13 says, "The woman folly is loud." What's interesting is that, well, I mean, let's just instead of saying folly, say the world, because everything outside of Christ is folly. Wouldn't y'all agree? So the world is loud. You know, so much of our lives are just filled with stimuli coming at us from the media, even Christian media, from the telephones, from alarms, just noise, noise, noise. I remember I read a story a long time ago. It was kind of a science fiction about time travel, and it described somebody going back in time, and they went back to, I guess it was like 14th century England. And in the story, it talks about when they got there, they were in some wooded area, and they just stood there for the longest time, very disturbed by something. They couldn't figure out what it was they were disturbed by. And finally, they realized it was the absence of noise. You know, the pre-industrial age must have been very different. When I woke up this morning, that's one of the things that we noticed. It's quiet here. I mean, we live in Houston. It's quiet here. There's never any quiet in Houston. And if you think that's bad, I visited a friend in New York City once and I almost went nuts. There was a siren going 24/7 outside of our window, and it's just noise everywhere. Noise, noise. You know, I don't know. If y'all are from around here, you probably don't appreciate the quiet like we do. You do? It's lovely. But imagine what it would be like pre, you know, industrial revolution, where there's never an air condition going and there's not the sound of freeway noise off there. And the enemy is constantly bombarding us with noise. And it says that the woman folly is loud. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Without him, there is no peace. Where are you going to find peace in the world? I can tell you where a lot of people find it. Drugs. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You know, I don't know if y'all have ever seen this. Look at Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. I've always thought this was the most fascinating scripture. Isaiah 57, verse 20. It said, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt." This is a description of the unsaved world is the sea. Just always restless, moving, restless, right? Did you know in Revelation it says that there will be no sea in heaven? That finally makes sense to me when I realized that there's no turmoil. There's nothing causing waves to be, you know, come up in our lives. But we're constantly bombarded by things. I mean, we can't get away from it. It's not like we can remove ourselves from these things. I think they tried to do it through the monasteries and things like that, but folks, you can't go out there and fight the battle without having things constantly wanting to get your soul restless and uneasy. I mean, y'all ever watch the news? Does that get you like talking to your radio sometimes? It does me. I stopped watching a lot of it because I sit there and I was ranting at the radio and I thought, I can't do this. And that's what the world does to you. It just stirs you up, stirs your soul up. And the Lord wants to come and make your sea like glass. He wants to come and bring peace into your spirit. The world is a noisy place full of anxious, driven people. There's a scripture in Habakkuk. We won't turn there. But folks, I don't know if y'all ever get upset at world events and the things that are going on. Do you? Well, I know a lot of people do. I know a lot of people that really invest a lot in that. I don't understand it because there's not a lot you can do about it except pray. You know, and I think the way Jesus did ministry makes the most sense to me is he just took one life at a time. And he never took on the Roman government. He tried to change people. He tried to introduce the kingdom. But Habakkuk 3:16, actually the whole book of Habakkuk, I had to read Habakkuk in my 1 year Bible reading. That's incredible. I don't know, I just really got into Habakkuk this time. Has it ever happened to you, something just something that you've always been bored from before just comes to life for you? Well, he's talking about just how the world is driven so desperately to try and find some security that it will oppress, it will give over to greed, it will do anything it can because it knows no peace. And then he talks about the evil that comes from the sea. The sea brings forth evil. It's wicked. The churning. And he talks about the evil. And he says, yet I will wait quietly for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. I will wait quietly for the trouble to come on people who invade us. You know what that means? I'm at peace. God is in charge. Right? He did not let... His eyes were wide open, folks. It's not like he's in unreality. It's not that he didn't see what the world was. You understand? He didn't go into a hiding place. His eyes were wide open. But he said, this is what it is, and I will wait quietly. I will not let it take me from my place of peace or disturb me. You know, God wants our spirits stirred up, folks, not our souls. Our souls, our mind, wills, and emotions, He wants at peace. It's our spirit man that needs to be stirred up for Jesus. And the devil does just the opposite. He lulls us to sleep in the spirit, makes us complacent, makes us feel overwhelmed so that we don't act, paralyzes us, causes us, and yet he stirs our soul up. And so we're always acting out of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And God wants the exact opposite. He wants your spirit full of fire. He wants your spirit full of passion. I'm not talking about being passive, folks. He wants you stirred up, but your soul at rest. There's a difference. And that's what a good quiet time. You've heard the expression quiet time? Why do they call it quiet time? I mean, they could call it a devotional. A lot of people call it a devotional. But quiet time is what I learned. And it's because if we don't learn to get quiet, then what's in our spirit will never come forth. It will be all our soul. It will be all the stuff stirred up inside of us. And listen, I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. If you go a couple of days going through life, answering the phone, dealing with your stuff, doing your stuff, you know, in a couple of days, you're not going to be in contact. You're just not going to be connected with the Spirit. You're not. It's not a matter, it's a daily thing, folks. Every day you've got to press in. Every day you've got to find a place. And I'm not just talking about intercession. You need to do that if you're called to intercede. I'm not just talking about your prayer life, reading the Bible. You've got to do all those things. But I'm talking about getting quiet before the Lord. How many of you ever really do that? How many of you really find time to get quiet? That's great. Because I really struggle with it. And I've been taught this, and I'm really, really teaching myself here. I'm just letting you in on it. I have a hard time getting quiet, folks. I just do. I get up in the morning and my mind's on my day. I got stuff going on. I got things to do, right? And then what happens if you start getting, finally you start getting quiet? What happens? Do what? Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I wanted to look at a picture of this. Turn over to Joshua. This is a familiar scripture, but I don't know if you've ever actually looked at it in this way. This is the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. In Joshua 6, I'm going to read 1 through 4. It says, now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpet. Now, if you look down in verse 10, it says, But Joshua commanded the people, You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So basically, y'all know the command. You know, if you never believe that the Bible is the Word of God, who can make this stuff up? I mean, this is God's plan for taking the fortress of Jericho. Okay, every day you're going to march around it once, and then do that for 7 days, and then the eighth day you're going to march around it completely silent, right, for 7 times, and then when I give you the cue, you shout, right? Well, there's so much in this story, and y'all probably heard it talked a lot of times, but I started thinking, imagine the people of Israel, okay? They have to walk around the city 6 times with their mouths shut. Okay, have you ever been to like a silent retreat? I've been to a silent retreat. You know why they have silent retreats? And this is part of the reason why we have to learn to get quiet. You have a silent retreat because we cover up our insecurities with our talking, right? We cover things up. We talk, we chatter, we make jokes. That's what I do. I make jokes. But whatever it is we do it with our mouths. We make noise, right? When you're quiet, you don't have anything to, you know, cover up with, right? And so these people are walking around and they can't talk. I mean, how many times in the life have they ever been in the presence of so many people and not been allowed to talk? So they're walking around and the first thing that they probably become cognizant of is just the noise around them, right? The animals, the people shuffling and snuffling and clearing their throats, and they're just probably just conscious of all the noise going on around them, right? But they've been told that they have to hear a certain cue. And on that certain cue, right, they can shout. So they're trying to tune into basically the voice of the Lord here. So this is you in your quiet time, right? You want spiritual power, right? So you're trying to cue into the voice of the Lord, right? And the first thing you hear is just noise, right? So you finally get past the noise, and the next thing you become aware of is insecurity. Did I get my stuff on right? My stuff doesn't look as good as their stuff. You know, I always thought he kind of had it going on, and I've never felt that good about, you know, just all that stuff. It comes up because you're in the presence of all these people, and you're not able to distract yourself from these old feelings of insecurity inside of you, right? So all the stuff comes up, the stuff that you just want to not listen to, all the things about yourself you don't like, all the things that have been said to you that hurt you, all that stuff comes up, right? So this is the next layer you have to deal with. And then you come to a place, okay, and then you start hearing something else. You start hearing the voice of what? The people of Jericho from the wall screaming. They're stuff at you. You idiots. What are you doing? All the stuff that the enemy yells, whatever the stuff is the enemy yells, but you've come in touch with another voice inside of you, and that voice is not the voice of God, and it's not yourself. There is another voice that wants to make itself heard, and it's the voice of the enemy. There is no way that we can truly understand what we need freedom from if we can ever get quiet. I see a lot of the stuff that we busy ourselves with and the things that we do in the world is so that we don't have to deal with this stuff. It really is. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. The temptation is to not want to have to get quiet and see what's going on in our spirits. Because a lot of it's not comfortable. So you hear the voice of the enemy. And then before that you start hearing these other voices like, God, this is really, really stupid. I am so embarrassed. What is this idiot Joshua causing us to do? I mean, this is really dumb. And you'll hear those voices when you get quiet, too. Voices of doubt, voices of fear. All the voices. You know, I heard somebody say once, we don't get quiet because we don't want to hear the sound of the monster breathing through the keyhole of the basement. You know, we know there's something down there and we don't want to hear it, so we just cut the radio on. We just get busy. We just get busy, folks. And I know that that's true of me, because when I get quiet, I have to fight through all that stuff. It's so good, though. You know? It's so good. You give it to Jesus. You give it to Jesus. If you can ever get past it, what happens? Your spirit man rises up. Let me tell you something. When they suppressed the chatter, when they suppressed their own souls, what came forth with that shout was nothing but spirit. It was the spirit man rose up and the walls of Jericho fell. And folks, that's what happens. We have to get quiet before the Lord so that all that soulish stuff can be stilled and quiet, so that the spirit man, the one with the power to live this life, comes up inside of us. If we can't get quiet, it's because of one of three reasons. First of all, we need deliverance. The surest sign that you need deliverance is if you can't get quiet. Did you know that? If you can't get still inside, if there's always a restlessness, if you never can overcome the drivenness inside, you need deliverance. I want to look at a picture of this in Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 12. This is at after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and he goes into the temple, and it says, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, 'It is written, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers.'" Folks, this is just a beautiful type of deliverance. We are the temple of God, right? Jesus wants to come in. Now imagine what it had been like in the temple at that time. They walk in and there's all these money changers, animals, sheep, you know, walking around, birds in cages, noise, noise, noise. And when Jesus walks in, I don't think this was pre-planned. Jesus walks in and walks into the temple of the holy God that's supposed to be a house of prayer, and all he can see is noise and confusion. And it troubles him. I think this was spontaneous. It troubled his spirit. This is holy ground. This is holy ground. And there's noise and confusion and turmoil. I'm not sure it would have bothered him quite so much if it hadn't been so just disorderly. But God is a God of order. And he got angry. This is to be a house of prayer. And do you know that's the way God feels about you? When he enters your soul and he finds stuff, it makes him angry. He wants to draw that stuff out of you so that your temple can be a sacred house, a holy house of prayer. And the other reason that we may not be able to get quiet is because we simply have not ever learned, and this is where I've really had to press in. We simply never learned to rule and reign of our own soul. You cannot expect just to go sit down and expect it all. You have to rule over your own soul. You are the one in charge. God placed you in charge of your own soul. Did you know that? If you can't rule and reign over yourself, then you're going to have a hard time walking out into the world and bringing the kingdom of God with you. And you have to rule over your own soul first. And your soul is this noisy, loud, distracted place. It's full of thoughts and great ideas. I never get more creative than when I sit down and have a quiet time. Well, I have the greatest ideas ever. I've just learned to take a pad and write them down. Do that. Just take a pad and write them down. Maybe a good idea, you know, but it's a distraction. It's a distraction. You know, that's what it says in the story of Mary and Martha. In fact, why don't we just turn there real quick in Luke 10. This is the greatest story. It talks about in Luke 10, verse 28, it says, "They went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed them into her house." Now, it was her house, so she probably had a real sense of responsibility. "And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." But it says Martha was what? My version says distracted. What does yours say? Distracted is the word I'm looking for. So it says Martha was distracted with. Now you just fill in the blank. Okay? What are y'all distracted with? And it said, "But Mary has chosen the good portion," is what Jesus told him. She has chosen. You see, chosen means an act of the will. She chose it. It wasn't just, her natural personality. She was just the quiet one who liked to sit there. I don't know what her personality was like, but it says she has chosen the good thing. Folks, it's a choice. There are a lot of things in your life that are important. There are a lot of things in your life that need your attention. There are a lot of things in your life that God Himself has given you to do. Right? You have to choose to sit at Jesus' feet. It's not going to happen if it's not a priority. I would say this. I would say that the most important thing, the biggest priority in your life, is to sit at the feet of Jesus every day. It is the number one thing. You should put it number one on your list, and you should guard it jealously. I remember when I was first saved, I had a quiet time. And I thought, how did I know to do that? It was before I'd been to church, had any instruction at all. And it's because when I was growing up, my mother, she got saved when I was, I don't know, in high school or something. And, well, she changed. In fact, that's how I got saved, is I had to acknowledge that that woman had changed. She was not capable of being that way. She had never been that way before. She'd never been anything like that before. So if you are praying for unsaved loved ones, it's good for them to see Jesus in you. But she would go into the bathroom every morning and lock herself in the bathroom. And my brother and I, we could not figure out what is she doing in there? Just lock herself in the bathroom and she wouldn't let you near her. I mean, she would get ferocious if you got near her. That was her quiet time. That was her devotion. That's the only way she could get it. She had to go lock herself away from us and threaten us with bodily harm. It was the only way she could get any quiet. And I bet you other mothers can relate. It's hard to find that quiet time when you got kids around, but you've got to do it. You've got to find that time with Jesus. I want to tell you something. When I got quiet this morning before the Lord, and I sensed that the Lord really wanted to pour Himself out to the people here in this camp. He really does. You don't understand His passion for you. He wants to pour Himself out in you. But I also sensed that He really, really, really wants y'all freer to be able to pour yourselves out to Him too. He's hungry for your fellowship. He wants a bigger place in your spirit than you've ever had before. He wants it jealously. And He cannot make it happen Himself because He gave you a choice. You can choose it or not choose it, but the problem is not His desire for you. The passion and the hunger He feels for you, it is not that. The problem is that the enemy succeeds in distracting you with much busyness. And if there's anything that you do differently from this time on, it is prioritize that time. Being still before the Lord and listening, not talking, listening. That doesn't mean you can't talk. When I sit down in my quiet time, the first thing I do is chatter. I'm a girl. I chatter. Woman, I have to chatter. You know, I fear that Jesus is a man. He understands. But I have to get the stuff that's the first layer of junk off of me. You know what I'm saying? The thing on the phone that just bugged me. The situation that I'm just really tempted to be anxious about. The insecurity that's coming up about this deal. The fact that I feel so inadequate for this other thing. All those things, right? I have to get those off of me. I don't know if y'all are like that or not. But I just chatter to the Lord. This. But there comes a time when it has to stop. The chatter has to stop. Be still when you go into the house of the Lord. Do not talk all the time. The woman's folly is loud, right? There comes a time when you have to shut up. It's, I guess, the way to say it. Just be quiet. And that is so hard because that's when the voices we talked about in the story for Joshua start coming up. And you have to rule and reign over them. There is a third reason, folks, that I need to bring up that we sometimes can't get quiet before the Lord. And, I told you the analogy about we don't want to get quiet because we don't want to hear the breathing of the monster in the keyhole of the basement. Well, sometimes the monster is not the devil. Sometimes the monster is the Lord Himself. And one of the reasons why we can't get quiet is because we don't want to listen to Jesus. We don't want to hear the voice of God. We're trying to shut Him up. Because the word He has to us is scary, or the word He has to us is convicting, or there's some sin we don't want to let go of. We're angry at somebody and we haven't let go of it. We're holding something in our heart and we don't want to let go of it. We're mad at God because we didn't get an answer to prayer that we wanted or something. But folks, if you're not ever quiet, sometimes we don't even know that's going on. Has anyone here ever been surprised by something they have felt against the Lord. I remember I prayed for a long time to get healed. I would have these hives, and the Lord didn't heal me. I got up in the middle of the night once and just railed against me. I was so angry because how could you not listen to my prayer? Folks, you know, you may be surprised at what's inside of you. And that was good because I let that go. That's gone. It's like, oh, I did not know that was in there. I did not know I had that kind of anger in me. I did not know. Folks, you don't know what's in the basement unless you get quiet enough to listen to the breathing. It could be the devil, but it could be the Lord with that still small voice convicting you, folks. You've got to hear. There's not one of us that doesn't need to hear the conviction of the Lord daily. We need to come under the place where the Lord can correct us. He chastens those He loves. He chastens His sons. If we're so busy, He can't chasten us. Lord, we need to know that He's a good Father. A good Father chastens His sons, and we have to be still and listen so He can tell us where we've gotten off, where we're not doing right. So it's three things, folks. You need to be still before the Lord. If you can't, you need deliverance. You need to learn to rule and reign. You need to be the one that's in charge. Or you need to repent. There's some sin someplace. There's something inside of you before the Lord that you don't want to deal with. I want to close by just looking at a picture of the early temple. We looked at the temple as a type of the believer when Jesus came in and cast the devil out. But, you know, when the tabernacle was built, they had, y'all all know the tabernacle, and they have the three areas, the outer court, where the sacrifices take place, and the washing, the laver there, and then the holy place, where the candlestand and the showbread and the altar of incense were, and then the most holy place, or holy of holies place, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the presence of God sat on the mercy seat. Well, this is a type, folks, of intimacy with God. Be a type of many things. It's just an incredible picture of so many things. But it's also a type of going from the outer place into the most intimate place with God, right? So, you know, you start out in the outer court. It's like being in church, okay? It's good. It's, you know, you got a lot of stuff going on, but it's noisy and it's loud and it's a place of a lot of activity, right? And so when you're going to draw closer, you go into the holy place. Now, the holy place was inside of the tabernacle, and it was, the way the tabernacle was built, it had many coverings over it. So it was dark inside, and it was quiet inside. It didn't have the noise. It was like still inside, right? So, and the only light inside the holy place came from the lamp, right? So just imagine you walk in, and just for a moment as you walk in, all the world comes fluttering in confusion. Things blow around. The natural light comes in. It's, you know, and so you close the door, and for a few minutes you have to stand there and kind of orient yourself because you can't see because you've been outside, right? And you walk in, and the only light is the soft light of the lampstand, and you let the noise in your head clear, and then you're standing. Just imagine the beauty of it. You know, they've got the cherubim everywhere, and then you're standing right there, and there's no noise, folks. And the only light is the light of the Spirit, because that's what that represents, is spiritual light. The natural light is gone. That's what it's like to start entering into the intimacy of the Lord. And it's in that holy place. You have to go to that holy place of quiet and stillness before you can go before the very throne of God at the mercy seat. It's a process. It's something that you have to do. You have to steel yourself to get to that place. And then when you're there before the Ark of the Covenant, you know what? Nothing matters. Time ceases. Time ceases. There is no time in eternity, and that's a place of eternity. And that's the place you have to access that. That is reality. Right there is reality. All this is going to be gone one day, but that's eternal. And folks, you have to enter into that place where eternity reaches this moment and access the presence of God. Because otherwise, it's all smoke and mirrors. And the only way you can do that, folks, is to learn to be quiet before the Lord. Now, do any of y'all struggle with that? You too? Yeah. I wanted to spend just a few minutes before lunch. We've got just a few minutes, and I just wanted to invite the Spirit of the Lord in, and let's just be quiet before the Lord. Now, don't go to sleep. I mean, if you do go to sleep, you go to sleep. But this is a time where I just really want... I've never felt the anointing of God more than I felt in those holy hushes that come. Y'all know those holy hushes that come? Where you're just... And there's so few. And I just want to invite the Lord in. You know, this is not, you know, the New Age will teach you to be quiet. That's what a lot of the New Age practices are, yoga and all that. They're trying to find a peace, right? There's a problem, though. There's no... God is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. We are coming before a living God whose presence is here. And we are coming before Him on our knees and presenting ourselves to Him. And He is real. And He wants to speak to you. Okay? We're not just looking for peace. We're looking for Jesus. Jesus is here. This is a relationship. This is a person. So, Lord, I just bless You and I just thank You, Father. I just thank You, Lord, that Your hunger to know us is so intense. That if we really understood Your passion to know us intimately, Lord, it would transform us, just like the Scripture says. It would transform us, Jesus. We need a revelation. We need a revelation, Father. And I pray right now, Lord, it's so easy, Lord, to not truly be able to compose ourselves before You and to hear Your voice. And I just ask You for the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God to come, Jesus, as we just spend a moment being quiet before You. And Lord, I pray that You would speak. Speak, Jesus. There's a lot of deliverance to be had here, Jesus. There's a lot of gifts. You want to impart gifts to people here today, Jesus. You want to put in their spirit something that it may take them weeks to even know is there. You want to come past their minds into that innermost place in their being and put gifts and abilities and passions there and just revelation that they've never had. And that's what I ask You to do now, Lord. In Jesus' name. I just want to say that I think what I'm going to do is just end. And if any of you want to remain silently before the Lord, you can. But I really feel, Lord, I don't know what that means, but I just think that there are those of you who are tired and those of you who are weary and those of you who have a need for Jesus to minister to you. And He wants to come and make Himself a lowly servant to you. And intimately minister to your needs in whatever way. Throw that out. I don't know if He needs that right now or if that's going to be something that happens over the time that we're here through the camp meeting. But I think that you should make it your practice as you can while you're here at camp, especially to sit before the Lord. He wants to minister to you. There are those who really need Jesus just to come. I would urge you to do that. Some of you don't take enough time to let the Lord minister to you. Lord, I thank You. I thank You that You care about us and that, Lord, You want to come and serve us in such a humble and lowly way. And to let us know You is the God. It's embarrassing to us, just like it was to Peter, to let You, the Lord of glory, come and serve us and do such humble things for us, Jesus. But we are, like Him, needy people. And we need You to refresh us, Jesus, and to teach us, Lord Jesus, to receive as well as to give. Sometimes, Lord, receiving is more difficult for us than giving is, Jesus. And I pray, Father, that You would help us to learn to quiet our souls before You and receive from You in ways that may be uncomfortable for us, Lord Jesus, so that we can know You and go out broken and humble people, not proud and haughty, Lord, unable to receive, unable to let You give to us at the deepest part of our need, Jesus. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.